The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's podcast, sponsored by Hillsdale College. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. I encourage you to take advantage of the many free online courses there. And, of course, to listen to the Hillsdale Dialogues, all of them at hughforhillsdale.com, or just Google Apple, iTunes, and Hillsdale. The last day of March in the year of our Lord, 2023. I am Hugh Hewitt in Studio West, and you don't know what's in the indictment. All right? Neither do I, neither do you. Only D.A. Bragg and his team knows, and I don't believe in leaks from trusted sources within the district attorney's office or friends who know the bailiff and the judge or folks that hear that Trump's turning himself in. The former president has been indicted, and there are 10,000 hot takes, none of them grounded in knowledge of what's in the indictment. Now, I have been teaching law students since 1995. And I have told them all a few basic lessons, like always be introducing yourself. One of them is never try and fake a judge out. In other words, if you don't know the answer to the question that the judge asks you, don't pretend to know. Everybody is pretending to know what's in the indictment. I don't know. I know this. If it's Michael Cohen plus the theory advanced in the John Edwards prosecution, then Prosecutor Bragg is the worst prosecutor in the United States ever for criminalizing politics. If it's just Michael Cohen and falsified payments, that's been asked and answered before. But we don't know that. So unlike 10,000 hot takes, I'm just going to wait. I do think it's mighty odd that it's a sealed indictment. I do think it is very, very odd. Very weird. It's sort of like, why hasn't the manifesto from the Nashville killer been released? There's a big profile on her in the Tennessean, which I've linked on my Twitter account, at Hugh Hewitt. She's clearly been ill for a long time and should never have been allowed anywhere near a weapon. She's engaged in quasi-stalking, obsessive behavior before, etc. And I don't know what it's going to be, except a grudge fest against people who were mean to her. I don't know why we don't see things. It's a free country. Why don't we see things? But if you want to add your 2 cents, 1-800-520-1234, first-time callers only. When there's a huge story, I don't indulge people who like to call talk shows a lot. And the simple reason is I would really love to talk to criminal defense lawyers right now and prosecutors, people who know what they're talking about. Now, I listened for a long time to the former U.S. attorney from, I think, the Eastern District of Washington, former mayor of Seattle, was on a local station last night. And she was making a lot of sense. And she was also saying, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. And that's not very good television, but legacy media is starved for ratings and clicks. So, of course, this has been wall to wall. And I am not persuaded that anyone should say anything. I said this throughout the Mueller investigation, which turned out to be a giant dry hole, despite throwing 20 prosecutors and 100 FBI agents and thousands of hours at it. Nothing there. And people have been trying to get Trump for 20 years. Especially since 2015, and especially since 2016, people have been trying to get Trump. And getting Trump has wearied me and has broken politics in America. But a Soros-backed prosecutor, I mean, a left-wing prosecutor, and I'm going to continue to say Soros-backed because Soros is backing the left-wing Supreme Court judge. By the way, I have Justice Dan Kelly on this morning as we enter into the home stretch of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, where Soros is spending another $500 million on backing a left winger. And Soros prosecutor in Manhattan indicting Donald Trump. It's so wildly wildly inappropriate, unless there's something we don't know. But you don't know what you don't know. Here is former Vice President Mike Pence on CNN with Wolf Blitzer last night, being responsible, speaking his mind, cut number one.
Well, I think the unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage. And it appears to millions of Americans to be nothing more than a political prosecution that's driven by a prosecutor who literally ran for office on a pledge to indict the former president.
But it wasn't just Mr. Vice President, excuse me for interrupting. It wasn't just the prosecutor, the district attorney in New York who did this. This was a grand jury, of some 23 people. Right. And you need a majority, 12, to go ahead and criminally indict.
Well, I understand that. And been a long time since I was in law school, Wolf. But I remember the old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich, right? The threshold, the burden of proof is very low. Prosecutors make decisions, discretionary decisions about what they bring all the time. Federal prosecutors passed on this. The Manhattan DA initially delayed it, passed on it. But when you have an attorney general in New York and a Manhattan DA that targeted one particular American in their campaigns, I think that offends the notion of the overwhelming majority of the American people who believe in fairness, who believe in equal treatment before the law. And this appears to be just one more example, Wolf, of the kind of two-tiered justice system that the American people have had enough of.
But your Justice Department, the Trump-Pence Justice Department, as you well know, they charged Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, over these very same payments and said he made them, and I'm quoting now, from the Trump Justice Department, in coordination with and at the direction of Donald Trump. Cohen spent more than a year in prison. Do you concede that was a crime?
Well, I concede that lying to Congress is a crime, which was, if memory serves, what Michael Cohen went to jail for the most part.
Just the only charge.
But here's the issue. I have to tell you, I'm traveling around the country a lot. My wife and I are going through a process of making decisions about our future. And, I was just in Iowa yesterday. I tell you, I was three different cities. And even though this has been in the news over the last 2 weeks and issues about me and another investigation were in the news, not one person raised this issue to me. And I have to tell you, the media's obsession about these investigations into Donald Trump, I think it's being lost on the American people who are struggling under the weight of the failed policies of the Biden administration. But look, I think the American people are going to look at this, see it as one more example of the criminalization of politics in this country. And it's one more example of the kind of drama that captures Washington, D.C.
And
makes it almost impossible for us to solve the problems
that
this country is facing.
Politician.
I just don't understand people who want more than what Mike Pence observed. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC last night went to the opposite spectrum of responsible commentary on a sealed indictment. Cut number three.
He's echoing Trump's language exactly, which is fine. Criticizing the legal process, criticizing the indictment, criticizing your perceived political enemies, calling for your supporters to blah, blah, blah. Okay, got it. Saying that the legal process for extraditing somebody from one state to another is something that will not be followed. The Florida governor, Trump, decides that he's not going to turn himself in, that he's going to stay in Florida and come and get me. Florida is not going to allow that process to go forward because it's a former president, because it's Donald Trump. Well, that could break us. I mean, indicting a president, indicting a politician is a normal thing in this country. Trying to say the legal system no longer applies in this country if you try to apply it to our political guy. That is something that can break the rule of law in this country. That is something, I mean, if anything, is the first proverbial shot at Fort Sumter today. That shot was fired, not
all right. That you can't get more over the top than the shots fired at, 600,000 people dead, a country wasted and ruined, and the slaves freed but not taken care of via any effective Freedmen Bureau. The worst time in our history. And Rachel Maddow goes there on the first night within hours of the announcement of a sealed indictment by a Soros-backed prosecutor in Manhattan. That's not overreacting at all, is it? It's late Roman Republic stuff, mind you. But there was a lot of stuff in the late Roman Republic that fell far short of this. There aren't any armies crossing the Tiber. It's politicization of it's criminalization of politics. It's all it is, criminalization of politics.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
33 minutes after the hour, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, looking at a full board of callers. But first, I have to check in with the official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Sonny Bunch. And I got to ask Sonny, did he enjoy Get Shorty, and how long does he think it will take to film the remake? Good morning, Sonny Bunch.
I did like Get Shorty. That's a fun movie. They actually made a series out of it. They didn't. It wasn't a remake, technically. I guess it was a different adaptation. But they.
Well, I think Get Trump is going to be, you know, jot, line, paragraph right out of the script of Get Shorty. But tell me, Sonny, what does a film critic do when the news overtakes your weekend work, which is when people pay really attention to the movies, and all of a sudden we're caught in a tsunami of hot takes?
Look, there's never any shortage of hot takes, Hugh. You got to understand, we live in the era of hot takes. So if people are more interested in the hot takes than what's hot at the box office, I can't help that. I just got to, you know, keep my head down, keep pushing on. But, you know.
Okay, well, give us the rundown on this weekend. Is there anything for the Fetching Mrs. Hugh at Night to see this weekend?
Well, you know, if you want to stay in, there is a good, fun movie about the creation and distribution of the video game Tetris. You remember the video game Tetris, Hugh?
But I don't play video games. Yeah.
Okay. No. It was big. It was a big deal. You know, this is a game that has sold 500 million copies worldwide. It was a phenomenon. With certainly people my age, you know, it came out in 1989 for the Game Boy. I think I was 6 or 7 at the time. I became a Tetris master. But the movie there's a movie out now this weekend on Apple TV Plus. It had been in theaters for a week or two, a few theaters, not too many, but it's on Apple TV Plus now this weekend, starring Taron Egerton, who folks might remember as Elton John from Rocket Man, the first two Kingsman movies. But he plays an American entrepreneur who plays Tetris and falls in love with it, wants to get the rights to it so he can distribute it around the world. The movie details all of the intrigue therein. Now you think like, oh, well, it's a video game. There's not that much intrigue. Well, of course, Tetris was created by a guy living in the Soviet Union and getting the rights out of the Soviet Union, getting the rights.
Oh, that's interesting. What's the name of the movie? Yeah.
What's that?
What's the name of the movie?
Tetris.
Oh, it is called Tetris.
It's called Tetris. So it's a fictionalized, you know, dramatization. So there's some stuff in that probably didn't happen in real life, like a big, you know, car chase through the streets of Moscow to get you know,
you
out
think?
Of the city yeah. with the signed paperwork. So, you know, I mean, like, it's a dramatization, so you got to expect some of that stuff. But it's a really fun movie. It's a really fun movie, and it's, you know, it's a reminder that communism and corruption, like, communism and corrupt capitalism, both bad in different ways. This is a movie about the triumph of, you know, the honest, good purveyors of corporate responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. It's a fun movie. I like it a lot. It's much better than you would expect it to be if somebody said to you, it's a movie about the rights of getting the
well, yeah, that's interesting. Apple. We've been watching Apple TV because Ted Lasso, of course, has been dropping. So, and I am the Ted Lasso of talk radio. But how about in the theaters? Anything in the theaters? You know, John Wick is everywhere, and everyone has seen it except me. But
well, yeah. So John Wick is out. You know, there is a new movie in theaters. The big new movie is Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Now, I'm sitting here and I sound like the biggest nerd in the world. Just saying that. Just saying the phrase Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
You know, makes me feel like a big loser. This is it's a very fun movie. It stars Chris Pine as a thief slash bard. He has a team. Including Michelle Rodriguez, who's kind of a warrior princess type, a young wizard, a shape-shifting mage, whatever. It's hard to describe without sounding like the biggest nerd in the world, but it does have one of your recent favorites, Hugh Grant.
Oh, Hugh Grant, again?
He's in another movie. He's in another movie, and he is charming and kind of roguish and devilish here. He is... a con man who betrays his friends.
Dragons and Dungeons. Hugh Grant is in Dragons and Dungeons.
Dungeons and Dragons, Hugh, come on.
Oh, sorry.
You have to get it right or they're gonna, you know, scour you on the streets, at the comic book stores.
But I'll go see Hugh Grant in anything. So will the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt. So maybe she'll go see Dungeons and
Dungeons. So look, here's I feel almost dirty recommending this movie, but it is very, very fun. I mean, it's a hard thing to do well, what this movie does, and that is put together a competent action comedy that deals with IP in a way that is both good for fans and good for non-fans alike. I say this as a non-fan of Dungeons & Dragons.
I'm going to write down this episode of Sunny Bunch to an unusual confluence of events. It's short because of the Trump indictment, and it's about two video games or two games.
All that's missing is Mario Brothers, and you've got the nerd trifecta.
You do, Sunny. If you bring up Mario Brothers right now, you are going to win the nerd trifecta.
Well, that's next week, Hugh. It's going to be huge. That movie is going to make $1 billion worldwide. I would bet $100 on that right now.
All right, Sonny Bunch, watch him or listen to him in his two podcasts across the movie aisle and the bulwark goes of the movie. Sonny, next week we'll spend all week talking about Mario Brothers, but I got to go back to the phones. Thank you, friend. Welcome back, America. Coming up next hour, Matt Spaulding, Dean of the Kirby Center Graduate Program for Claremont at the Kirby Center in Washington, D.C. Joined now by Sarah C. Westwood of the D.C. Examiner. She joins me every week to review what happened in Congress. Sarah, was anyone around to get reaction from yesterday after Bragg dropped his bombshell?
Well, Republicans and Democrats, you know, everybody sort of found a way to get their reaction out there, even if they weren't, you know, physically in the halls. We saw sort of an outpouring of statements from both sides. If there's one thing that could sort of bring the Republican Party together, it's sort of protesting what looks to be a sort of unfair, to put it mildly, pursuit of Trump legally by this very liberal district attorney in Manhattan. And so you have Republicans across the spectrum, even ones that have been really critical of Donald Trump, coming to his defense last night. It was sort of remarkable to see the extent to which Republicans are on the same page in sort of condemning this indictment.
Now, I've been reviewing everything that's been said, trying to award a gold medal in the stupid Olympics. And Nancy Pelosi actually won going away by saying he has a chance to prove his innocence, which is turning all of American law, actually Anglo-American law, for 1,000 years on its head. Did anyone else say anything remotely as stupid as he has a chance to prove his innocence?
I think Barbara Lee from California said something to the effect of now do all his other crimes. Like, I think Democrats have been searching for some sort of avenue to get him. And, you know, they were facing, in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office was facing a pretty hard deadline in terms of the statute of limitations for this sort of Frankenstein case that they've put together, combining federal election law with state paper records laws. And so, you know, the sense is if they didn't vote on the indictment, you know, this week or in the next few weeks, they may not have been able to bring it at all. So, you know, that sort of, I guess, explains maybe the unexpected timing. But based on what we know of the indictment so far, the facts of this case could not be weaker. And the credibility of the witnesses that the DA has relied upon, Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, you know, people who have been widely discredited over the past few years, are building the backbone of this case. I mean, it's hard to see how any Democrat could.
Now, Sarah, my caution, I've told her, I've been teaching law students since 1995, and I've always told them all, first, always introduce yourself because people may forget you. And then second, never pretend to know what you don't know in front of a judge or you'll get thrown out. And I don't know what's in the indictment. Nobody does. Jonathan Turley was on Fox saying, if it says that, and what you just presumed is, if this is Stormy Daniels plus Michael Cohen, it equals John Edwards on steroids. But we don't know if there's something new, right? Has anyone acknowledged that we don't know what's in there?
I mean, I think you're right. There's probably could be more recognition that we don't know. We know that there's about 30 counts in the indictment. It's, you know, unclear. There could be more than what we know right now. With the sort of the paper trail thing about the hush money payment could be just the tip of the iceberg of a bunch of illegal activity that the Manhattan DA uncovered. But this has been a particularly leaky process, right? I mean, grand jury proceedings are supposed to be very secret. We've had a lot of leaks. A lot of witnesses who have been talking to the grand jury have also been talking to the press. So I think, you know, in this case, we may have a little more insight than usual because of that, because there hasn't been really an effort to protect the secrecy of the proceedings. But you're right. We don't know what else could be in the indictment.
You remember that Star Wars meme? It's a trap. I do think there is a possibility that it's a trap for the media to spend all weekend talking about Stormy Daniels plus Michael Cohen does not equal a John Edwards prosecution, which failed anyway. That's a big, I mean, that is a really seductive line to go down, but we don't know. And I don't want to win the stupid Olympics. I'm not competing in the stupid Olympics. I'm just curious if any Democrat exercised any caution at all. Nancy Pelosi just absolutely said he gets to prove his innocence. That's written. We got a photo shot of it. She wins the stupid Olympic. But did any Democrat use any caution at all?
Some of them did. I mean, we saw some Democrats talking about the presumption of innocence, which is, you know, what Nancy Pelosi should have been saying, maybe she was trying to say, and, you know, not jumping to conclusions and no one is above the law. The problem is with indicting a former president, which is a historic, unprecedented step, you know, you would hope that the case would be completely airtight, would be overwhelming evidence. And so even if there is more to this indictment, and there very well could be, than what we know so far, the idea that to convict Donald Trump, a former and president, current candidate, you would just need to have so much evidence. And nothing so far in the public record indicates that
that's
the Manhattan
correct.
DA has anything.
Last question. Did anyone answer the question, why would it be sealed and dropped on a Friday night? You suggested the statute of limitations might force his hand, but anyone explain why it's sealed?
Yeah, I've not heard any compelling explanation of why it's sealed other than potentially to protect the DA from scrutiny of what's in the indictment. But so far, you know, the reason why it would be.
That's the only answer that makes any sense to me, is that he was afraid of being ridiculed when he wanted his 72 hours of fame. And he wants the mugshot, and then he can raise money off of it forever. He's running for mayor. He's running for governor. It is just crazy. Sarah Westwood, thank you. Sealed indictments. Don't like it. Good to talk to Sarah C. Westwood on Twitter. Follow her on Twitter at Sarah C. Westwood. Follow me in the next hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Hugh Hewitt. Sign up for my newsletter over at HughHewitt.com. And, of course, get the highly concentrated Hugh at iTunes. But if you want to listen to the universe, you've got to subscribe. The Grand Old Pod will follow today. Ed Morrissey and Generalissimo are talking this through. But you don't get to hear that unless you're a subscriber to the universe. Stay with us.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.